Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I am the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are well into our series called Walking with Jesus, and the whole point of the series is to look at the life and ministry of Jesus and see that Jesus is real. Jesus lived here. He was fully human. He was tempted. He was hungry. He laughed and celebrated with friends and family. But through this series, we also get to see that Jesus is also fully God. He has done amazing miracles and healing. He has preached and taught like no one else before, and we get to see that he can do all things. Well, last week we looked at Jesus using his greatest gift of all, and no, it's not his ability to heal and do miracles. It was Jesus' ability to preach. Jesus took the text right here that we have today, the Word of God, and he explained it in ways that people have never heard before. You have heard, do not murder, and Jesus says, yeah, that's fantastic. I'm excited you're not out there murdering people. But Jesus says, what about your heart? Do you hold hate in your heart for another person? Because this is murdering them in your heart. In Jesus' greatest sermon, called the Sermon on the Mount, he flipped the script on what God really wants from us. Jesus is calling us to stop living this life as a checklist. It's not about how much good you're doing. It's not about how much bad you're doing. It's not about checking off God's commands one by one to say, you know what? I've done good enough to earn God's grace. What God wants is our hearts. That's what he wants mostly. And when we give our hearts, we cannot help but follow his commands. It's an outpouring of our love that we have for God, and that's why we want to follow him. And this week is going to get really real, so I'm warning you now. We're in week 11 of this series, and we've only gone over a fraction of everything that Jesus has done. But this week is a challenge for the follower of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and turn to Matthew 10. It'll be Matthew 10, verses 1 through 39. Yes, you heard that right. 1 through 39. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and the servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your heads are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Like I said, a lot to go over, and we'll talk about everything that's happening. But it starts off pretty direct. So it says that Jesus calls his disciples to him. So that means wherever they are. It's not like they're in another room, and he's like, hey, everybody, let's gather around in the living room. Okay, that's not what he's saying. No, Jesus was calling them from where they were at, where they were staying, and he's saying, come and meet me. And the reason that's important is, again, this shows that they lived lives. Okay, they were doing things that we don't read in here, and that was living a life. So Jesus says, I want you all to come over here because I have something for you. We're going to have a talk. We have a mission that we're going to do. And Jesus says to them, I'm going to give you all authority to drive out impure spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. And then we get the names of the 12 disciples or followers of Jesus. And that way you can't say, oh, it wasn't for them. No, it was exactly for them. He pointed them out by name and said, this is you. You're my followers. I know you. And this is what I'm asking of you. Now, before we go any further, we have to understand what just happened here. Jesus has been teaching these men. They've gotten to witness him heal so many. He has cast out impure spirits from people. They have seen Jesus do the impossible. And now Jesus is flipping it on them. He tells them, it is now your time. Even more importantly, he says, it is now your time to go without me. I don't think we give this enough thought of how this would be, because the disciples have been with Jesus through it all. It was usually Jesus is doing his thing, and they'll have questions, and they get to be a part of it, and maybe they've gotten to teach a little and help people and do little side things here and there. And Jesus is saying, you're up, kid. It's your time. I know you've seen what I can do, but now I'm giving you authority, and you're going to go out. So when reading the Bible, I like to put myself in the scenario. I like to say, okay, how would I be? How would it be if I was right there? If I'm sitting there with these other 12 men, and Jesus is there right in front of me, and he looks at me and he says, okay, it's now your turn. So how would I react? I know how I'd react. I sat and thought about it. I'd probably laugh. I would sit there and go, you're funny, Jesus. That's a funny story. And then as Jesus is sitting there going, yeah, it's time. I'm going to be like, no, seriously. Wait, no. What are you doing? Because when it sinks in, you're saying, you know what? You're sending me to do what again? I need to figure this out because you're talking about me here. Okay, I know John is a very popular name. It could be anybody. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. There's a lot of Johns. So maybe he's not talking about me. I don't know. So then he's telling you, you're going to go and heal the sick and drive out impure spirits. I'd be like, okay, sure. Let's see what happens. I don't know. There would be fear in my soul that I'm walking away from Jesus because he's sending me to go do the things that he has done. And I know that he is God. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't just say, well, now leave and goodbye, good luck. I hope you make it. Okay, that's not what he does. He has parameters for them, what they're to do. And Jesus starts off with their mission field. Jesus says, I'm going to send you out to the Jews, not the Gentiles. Those are people who are not Jews. And Jesus says, not to the Samaritans, who are a group of Jews who have mixed their religion and culture with others. Jesus says, you're going to your own people. You know them. You know their customs. You know how they think. Jesus says, you're going to go bring the good news about the Messiah, the Savior, The one that they've been waiting for. They have this background. They know exactly what is supposed to come. You're giving them the next step in the story to your own people. And you may sit there and go, "Ooh, that seems a little easier, you know. I know that I'm going to be going out to people that are waiting for this, and they will understand the things that I'm saying. They know these people." And then Jesus tells them what he wants them to do in further detail in verse 8. He says, "Heal the sick." It's like, okay, I've seen you do it, God, so yeah, let's heal the sick. And he says, "And you're going to raise the dead." What? Raise the dead. Imagine Jesus coming up to you and said, "Okay, you're going to raise the dead." Sure, like you mean like spiritually, right? That's what you're talking. I'm going to raise the dead spiritually. And Jesus is like, "No, you're going to raise the dead." And you're sitting there going, I don't even know where to begin. Like, how does that even start? And then he says, "Oh, also, you're going to cleanse those with leprosy." And for us, we're like, okay, no, you don't understand. There are laws in place. There are things where you cannot talk with them, be with them, hand something to them, and then you will be unclean. You are unfit to be near God. And he's saying, "You're going to the leprosy people, and you're going to heal them too. And that's not it. You're going to drive out demons." I'd just be sitting there with a blank stare. What? It would be so much confusion. Me? And Jesus then ends with verse 8, and he says, "Because of this, this is how you're going to do it and why you're going to do it." He says, "Freely you have received, now freely give it." This is perfect for us today as well, because Jesus has given us everything that we have today freely. He went to that cross freely. He died for you freely. His blood washes us clean freely. It was all given to you for free. All you have to do is take it. And here Jesus is saying, you're going to give back to the people what I've already given you. You're going to give back to the people what God has given you. And we have that same mission today. All that are saved through Jesus Christ, you have been given this freely. Why are we not going out and giving it to others freely? And I don't even mean that you need to raise the dead and heal the sick, unless that's what God's calling you to do. By the way, if you sit there and say, "I got a calling from God to go raise the dead," please call me. I want to be there, okay? I want to see it happen. That would be awesome. But that's not the norm. That's not what you're probably going to be sent out to do, but it may be. But what we're supposed to be doing is giving the truth. These guys are going to go out into this world and do the impossible. And guess what? People are afraid of what they do not understand. When you raise someone from the dead, many will go, "Wow, what did I witness? This is amazing. This is awesome. I can't believe it. God must be real." And then others are going to say, "You're a demon. You need to die." Okay, that's what's going to happen because there's fear. It's a frightening thought that this power exists. But we still have to be bold. And then Jesus, he wants them to understand the parameters of what to bring. So how do we go out and do this? He says, "Well, do not bring any money." Okay, stop right there. Have you ever traveled without money? It's frightening. It can be rough. You are counting every mile, every penny. You're trying to figure out where you're going to stay, what you're going to do. You're going to try to make sure everything you do is free. That's what you're trying to do because you're saying, "Okay, well, we're traveling somewhere. I don't have the cash to do it." And what Jesus tells them is you're going to rely on the love and care from strangers. And he says, so no extra clothes, no extra shoes, travel as light as possible, nothing extra. And you have to ask the question, why? Isn't it enough that I got to go raise the dead? Now I got to bring nothing with me and not be prepared? And it's because God will put people in your path that will help take care of you. Jesus says in verse 11, wherever you go, look for someone worthy. This is meaning someone who is following God, someone who is loving and giving. And then what you need to do is ask to stay at their place, and they will welcome you in. Again, this would freak me out. You're telling me you want me to go to a town I don't know with nothing in my pockets and to go talk to strangers that I don't know, and you want me to ask them, can I stay with you? I don't know about you, but I have watched way too much true crime. That's how you get murdered, all right? Hey, strange person, you seem nice. Yeah, they always do, don't they? Okay, serial killer disaster. You're just sitting there going, what's going to happen? I don't want to go spend weeks at my cousin's house that I barely know, but they're family, and I do know them, let alone go to a random person and just say, can I stay in your home? Oh, you said yes? Oh, thank God, now I have somewhere to lay my head. That's a frightening thought. But Jesus is preparing the disciples for everything that is to come. when people are not hospitable, because there will be people that will turn you away. If no one will welcome you, if no one will listen to your words, Jesus says it's okay. Leave that home. Leave that town. He says, shake the dust off your feet. Jesus is flat out saying, some places are not going to be happy with what you're doing, and they will not help you. So what do you need to do? Move on. And he tells them, don't worry. There are many other people that you can go talk to. Your work will not be done. It's not that, well, I had one group to reach and I just couldn't, so I'm going to go home now. No, Jesus says there's many more that need to hear. Again, it's another thing I love to hear from Jesus for today, because it's so hard. It is so hard to do this. What happens is when we want to help somebody, when we want to show people the truth, when we want to tell them there is a better way, and that way is Jesus, there's quite a few people that do not want to hear it. Or even worse, they become belligerent with you. And you may say, it's just so hard to walk away because all I want to do is help them. I just want to share the truth with them. Like, I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep trying. I understand this. I've had my fair share in ministry from people who wanted nothing to do with anything that I am saying. And I'm not just talking about online. If you've been watching our posts, it's been interesting lately. We posted one of our pictures and it was an invite to the third service. All it said was 614 service, you're invited, Buckeye Christian Church, 6 p.m. Sunday nights. That's all it said. And we put it out on Facebook. The amount of hate that we got was incredible. I couldn't believe it. I'm reading this and they're talking about how we're a cult and we're evil and we're hypocrites and we're monsters and we're the worst. And to be honest, I laughed. I was like, it's an invitation, man. You don't have to come. It's okay. And it just kept going and feeding off of each other. And they just started just destroying what they thought was our beliefs. And it's so funny because I'm sitting there laughing going, you clicked on this. You wrote on it. And I was this close to typing after each one of those. And guess what? You're still invited. I didn't do that because I thought maybe it would do a snowball effect, so I left it alone. But the thing is, talking online, sure, you're going to get some hate, but you can walk away. But I'm talking about in person. In person, I've been threatened. In person, I've been chased out of places. In person, I have been held up at gunpoint. Not everyone wants to hear. And Jesus says, it's not your fault, but it's not going to be good for them. Jesus says in verse 15, it will actually be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than on that town that's rejecting you. Think about this for half a second, because that's a crazy thought process to read. Jesus is saying those cities from the Old Testament, from long ago, those cities that were so evil, so despicable, so vile that they couldn't find a single righteous person in it, that fire rained down from heaven to destroy those cities. It's saying, guess what? Those cities will actually have less judgment than those towns and those people that you go to. And it's because the hearts of the people are so hard, and it's hard to Jesus. But then things shift a little bit in the next part. Verse 16, Jesus says, guess what? You're also going to be sheep among wolves. Jesus, you're killing me here. Like, how hard is this going to be? What do you mean sheep among wolves? Can't we be like bears among wolves, or, you know, some sort of monster that wins all the time? No, I don't want to be a sheep. But we know what it means to be a sheep. As a follower of Christ, as a follower of God, we're to be loving, we're to be pure, we're to be innocent. And the world, they want to tear you apart. And that's why Jesus follows up with, you need to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. The innocent part we get, it's easy to understand. Be above reproach. Make sure you're following God's commands and doing what he asked you to do. But we hear that, be shrewd as snakes, and we're like, ew. A lot of people hate snakes. A lot of people love snakes. But a lot of people also think snake, Bible, devil, Garden of Eden. Oh, now that's the one that tricked Adam and Eve. Snakes are horrible. What he's trying to do is make a point here that we have to be wise. Pay attention. Make wise decisions. Choose your words well. And when we think of it that way, it seems a lot more doable. Shrewd as a snake. Okay, I will pay attention to what's happening. I will be wise in my decisions. And then we get to verse 17. And it says, and be on your guard. Why? Because you will be handed over to the local councils and you will be flogged in the synagogues. You know what, Jesus? You are not selling this, all right? This does not sound like a good time. I think I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You're going to say I'm going to get beaten? Is that what you're telling me? I'm going to be arrested by the local authorities and they're going to beat me. This is getting a lot less fun quickly, and we really don't want to do this. But what's happening is Jesus is preparing them for what's really going to happen. The truth of the situation. He wants them to understand how serious this is. Imagine if Jesus just said to them, it'll be fine. There will be no problems. You're going to just skip arm in arm together and they're going to love everything you have to say. And then they went out and all this happened. They wouldn't have been ready. It would have destroyed them. And Jesus is saying, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing your hearts. I'm preparing you for the work. He's telling them the truth of the situation is people are angry. People hate the truth so much that they're going to beat you for it. They're going to hate you. But I'm going to tell you now, it's okay because they hate me, is what Jesus says. And that's what he meant in verses 24 and 25. We are his students. He is our teacher. If people hate the teacher, if people say that Jesus is from Satan and that he is evil, well then guess what? As people trying to follow him and live for him, you're going to be hated as well. You will be called evil and all kinds of things. And we still see this today. We still see how much hate that you can get for just speaking the truth. And we're not always sure what to do with that. When a person comes up to you and just starts yelling at you, screaming at you, calling you names, saying how horrible you are, all because you're saying, I believe in Jesus, most of the time you don't need to say anything else. That's enough for them to hate you. And the thing we have to understand is it's not just strangers that do this. Yeah, random people coming up to you and saying that, you can brush off. But your friends and your family, they may do this as well. And that's why Jesus said in verse 21, brother will betray brother to death, father to their child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Now, we live in a place in America here where people cannot just point at you and say, you're evil, you're horrible, you're from Satan, and then have you killed. Okay, we don't have that here in America, but that does still happen in some countries across the world. I know some ministers right now running for their lives. And it's all because they own a Bible. It's all because they said the name Jesus, and that was enough. But just as we talked about last week, it's not just about standing up and speaking the truth to our families and friends. It's about where is your heart? And that's why verse 37 says, you cannot love your family more than Jesus. Now, there's some misconceptions when we read this that you need to hate your father, hate your mother, hate your children. People are like, why is Jesus telling me to hate my family? That's not what he's saying here. Obviously, it's not what he's saying because one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your mother and father. So that would just be counterproductive. It makes no sense if we think of it that way. What he's telling us is we cannot choose to follow anything that is here. Everything on earth is temporary, and that includes your family. That Jesus has to come first. And it's because when we're following family, you're not following Jesus. Well, how could you choose church and Jesus over this thing that we wanted to do? Well, we don't agree with your lifestyle. Well, we don't like that you're moving. We don't like whatever it is that they're saying. If you are living for your family, you will make sure that you please them first. And Jesus is saying, no, make me first. And I'm going to tell you, when you make Jesus first, you will love your family more than you ever have. When you put Jesus first, you'll be able to take care of your family better than you ever have. Because you will understand what God did for you by giving his son. And you'll have that outpouring of love too. But again, we as Americans are living in a place where it would be almost unheard of to die for talking about Jesus. And so that brings up a very important question that we have to ask. What are you afraid of? It seems like such a simple question. What are you afraid of? Why not speak the truth about Jesus to all you come across? Your family, your friends, your neighbors, that random person you see in Target. What can they do to you other than call you names? Maybe they'll attack your character. Maybe they'll try to shut down your business. It doesn't matter. But more importantly, even if they try to kill you, it doesn't matter. Verse 28, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Because guess what? They cannot kill your soul. There truly is nothing that they can do to harm you. They cannot take your salvation. That is yours and yours alone. They cannot take the fact that you have God and you will be with him. They can take nothing from you that matters.
But God, He can. When we fight Him, when we deny Him, when we hate Him, you will not go to eternal life. You will not be restored. Why? Because you will be separated from God, because you chose to walk away from Him. When you walk away from Him, you're saying, I am walking away from light, I am walking away from love, and I am walking away from everything that is good. Because that's what and who God is. We need to trust that God loves us. And that is why Jesus says, God takes care of the sparrows. They serve their purpose. They exist for a reason. God created them to exist. If you think that God has made a purpose for the birds, He has a purpose for you as well. But we have to answer the call to Jesus. Jesus is sending us out to change the world. And we do not have the comfort to have Jesus just standing right here next to us. We don't get to have His physical lead. I think that would be so much easier sometimes if Jesus walked in, looked me in the eyes and said, this is what I want from you. And I'd go, okay, I'm scared, but okay. But we do have something else since we don't have Jesus standing right here. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And that is what Jesus was talking about in verses 19 and 20. If you're not sure what to say, it's okay. You'll be given what to say. And it's not going to be you speaking. It's the Holy Spirit, which is God who lives inside you, speaking through you. But for all that to happen, you have to give your life to God. You have to answer the call from Jesus. And then you have to go out and spread the good news. And this last line in verse 39 says it all. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Meaning, when we give up our own wants and our own desires and we choose to live for Christ, you will find true life. You will find your true purpose. You will find eternal life with God. You will find everything that truly matters when you say, my wants and desires, they don't matter, but God, yours do. So here's my challenge and my call to you for this week. Are you truly being bold for Christ in your life? If you cannot say yes, you have to ask yourself that question. What are you afraid of? What are you scared is going to happen? Because the Creator of all, the God of the universe, He's calling you. He's calling you to follow Him, to work for Him, to live for Him, and to spread the news of Jesus. So today is the day to do it boldly. This week, be bold in sharing your faith. What are you afraid of? There's nothing you should fear, but you should love God with all of your being.
We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.